Hello and welcome to the Pure Championship podcast, the podcast dedicated to the greatest league in the world. I'm Cammy Anderson and as ever I'm joined by Chris Sampson. We've had some time off enjoying the festive period as much as we could and hope you did too, and we want to wish you all a happy new year as well. Since our last podcast has been three match days in the Championship, so we're going to tackle things a little bit differently this week. Rather than review it each and every match, we're going to look at the good, the bad and the ugly in the league over these three match days. So let's start with the good then, Chris. What was one of the good things for you over this kind of past few matches?
I mean, we should probably start with Queen of the South, shouldn't we? Where's that come from, Cammy?
I mean, I have absolutely no idea. Obviously, a few weeks ago, we were kind of saying that's them, they're done, they're out there. But, I mean, we should probably learn. We cover the Championship every week now, and we really shouldn't be kind of ruling teams out because so many teams, you just need a few results and you seem safe, you seem fine, all your players work again. And granted, 2 weeks later, they're all, how are they even playing football? They're not even footballers kind of thing again. But I mean, that's the Championship for you. And one of the kind of good things I took from Queen of the South over the festive period was the debut of who I'm going to coin the Dumfries Donnarumma. Charlie Cowie made his Queen of the South debut in their 2-0 away win over Raith Rovers, which, I mean, Cowie debuting was rather surprising. Jack Layfield went down injured, so Cowie had to step in, only 16 years old. But, I mean, I don't know whether a 16-year-old debuting was more surprising than Queen of the South managing to beat Raith Rovers 2-0, and especially away from home. Obviously, we've sang the praises of Raith Rovers a lot, but Cowie in this one was, I mean, he was fine. He never had too much to do, and I mean, he's the only goalie in the league with a perfect record this season, hence the Dumfries Donnarumma nickname that he's now got.
Disappointing that he dropped back to the bench for their 3-2 win over Ayr as well. I think Rowan Ferguson came back in for that one. So, I think Raith Rovers will be kind of ruining themselves that they didn't. I think if you see a 16-year-old goalie going in, kind of getting thrown in late in the day before a match gets kicked off, you want to test them. But I think looking at the stats, he only had one shot on target. So Raith will be absolutely kicking themselves. But the Queen of the South, obviously, yeah, they'd managed to pick up a win before the festive period too. But to get two wins out of their three matches over the festive period that we're looking at here, that is a great run of form and something, as you said, we did not see coming whatsoever.
No, we didn't. I mean, obviously, the other game was a 3-1 loss to Dundee on Boxing Day, and there's something a bit kind of ugly that we'll discuss about that one in just a second. But, I mean, that's two wins in a row for Queen of the South, as you say, and, I mean, we really couldn't see this one coming. And I think something that's really surprised me is the fact they've done this without Stephen Dobby as well. Obviously, picked up an injury against Morton a few weeks back, and Connor Shields has kind of transformed into kind of the, well, I don't know if you'd say the second coming of Dobby or what you kind of describe him as. He's really kind of stepped up in recent weeks and kind of popped up with a few goals and kind of been really key. And I mean, now that Queens have kind of found their rhythm, you wonder, can they kick on when Dobby's back? Because Dobby wasn't exactly starring for them prior to him going down injured, but we all know how good Dobby can be on his day, and he is a fantastic player. So it's certainly going to be an interesting one watching Queen of the South in the coming weeks. But I'd kind of briefly touched on it there, the kind of ugly and perhaps maybe one of the worst moments over the festive period in the Championship, and that was Queen of the South letting in professional nobody George Galloway into their match. What did you make of this, Chris?
Yeah, this got quite a few headlines, didn't it? And it'd be ridiculous if we didn't cover it on this podcast. What can you say about it? It hasn't already been said, really, but I think it was totally wide of the mark from Queen of the South, shall we say. And I think it's obviously coming from board level, and they've just completely... I think the reaction that it got shows them that it shouldn't have happened whatsoever. And even to invite, whether he's going to be a potential sponsor of the club or not, I think you maybe don't want somebody like that to be a potential sponsor of your football club. But I think even to invite him along to a match when it's allowed, if he was at a match and fans were there, then think about the reaction that would have got, never mind when fans can't get to matches. So totally wide of the mark for that one, and thankfully it didn't get repeated, and it probably won't get repeated for this season and probably in the future, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was very poor. Obviously, I think Queen of the South tried to cover their path and say, "Oh, we'd invited them prior to the kind of new lockdown restrictions that came in place from Boxing Day." And I mean, to kind of leave that invite still there and not pull it away, I mean, it's just daft. And then the statement that they initially brought out, kind of just like, "Well, like, if you're upset, sorry." Like, they weren't really sorry or showing any kind of remorse for it. And then Queen of the South fans rightly kind of kicked off about it. And I mean, as you say, got tons of headlines. And then Queen of the South then brought out a bit of a better statement. But I mean, by that stage, the damage had already been done. They'd already upset a lot of their loyal fans who are going week in, week out, not just bringing George Galloway in so he can post a wee tweet and also bring his family in as well, which, I mean, makes it even worse. But yeah, very disappointing. And as you say, I can't see this happening at Queen of the South again or any team in the Championship or Scotland. I think this is quite the lesson learned for Queen of the South. Granted, there hasn't been any sanctions against him, at least as far as we're aware of, but it's certainly not the kind of publicity you want. And thankfully, they've kind of managed to maybe shelf that a little bit with those two wins that followed that. So yeah, kind of they turned a bad into a good in the end, but something that was completely avoidable and they shouldn't have done. But I think it's time we move on to something that has been really good during the festive period, and that has been Dundee. Talk to me about Dundee, Chris.
Aye, where did this come from as well? I feel like it was only a couple of weeks ago that some Dundee fans were calling for James McPake's head, and now they're looking up. It just shows you again what an unbeaten run can do in the Championship. They've gone from 7th to 3rd with 3 straight wins, and they're unbeaten in 6 as well. I was trying to think what we can kind of attribute it to. Obviously, it's a great turnaround in form. They weren't, I mean, I'm going to say they weren't terrible at the start of the season, but they weren't what fans were expecting them to be, and I think that was disappointing for a lot of the fan base. But it looks like McPake settled on a kind of 4-3-1-2 now, sort of like a diamond. So Paul McGowan's behind Osmond Sowe and Danny Mullen. You've got Charlie Adam in there. Obviously, I'll come back to him in a second, but he's allowed to do whatever he wants alongside Sean Byrne and new midfield maestro Jordan McGee as well. So I think that kind of turnaround and him being able to settle on that formation, which is something that we've talked about alongside Dundee since we started the podcast, that they haven't really been able to settle on a succinct style of how they want to set up the team. But I think they've been able to get to do that with the return of Osmond Sowe coming back from injury. I think you've obviously got Jordan McGee moving into midfield, like I just said. The arrival of Liam Fontaine can't be underestimated either. He came in for the last 20 minutes of Dundee's defeat against Ayr, but they were already 2-0 down by that point. But since then, he's played every single minute in the league, and they're unbeaten. So I think you can't look past him. And obviously, he's chipped in with, I think it's 3 goals already too, and even a couple of assists from kind of flick-ons as well. So obviously a lot of those assists for Fontaine's goals have been from Charlie Adam, and I sent you a little meme earlier, Cammy, that I'm sure I'll tweet out at some point in the next few days when we're plugging this podcast. But yeah, Charlie Adam, that wand of a left foot just continues to trouble opposition teams, and he's now top assister in the league, which just shows it. What a ball for Jordan McGee's goal against Hearts as well. And obviously, Danny Mullen's goal was kind of laid on a plate by Charlie Adam too, with a bit of good play on the wing. I think Adam and Jordan Marshall as well have been linking up really well on that left-hand side. I think that switch in formation has allowed Marshall to get forward too. And I checked in with Gav on a few stats. He mentioned Jordan Marshall to us in the chat. So I just wanted to ask a bit more about what's changed with Marshall, and I think compared to last season, he's making more forward runs. His dribbles per 90 minutes have almost doubled, and he's creating better chances too. He's even getting in the box more as well from left back. So I think that just shows you that with Fontaine at the back providing a bit much more defensive stability than they've got before, and that's that kind of change in system in the midfield too, it's just making Dundee tick. And I think it was great for them to get back at Hearts for that opening day hammering as well.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, I think Fontaine has been superb. So I think we've done it with Charlton Adam, and I think we maybe had some reservations about Liam Fontaine coming in, but as you say, he's come in and it's allowed that system change. And I think you mentioned the Marshall stats there. I can't help but think he's kind of returned to the Jordan Marshall that we've seen at Queen of the South a few seasons back, who I'm sure he actually made the team of the season that year. He popped up with a few goals, few assists and stuff. And yeah, the freedom he's now got is working a treat. And then obviously, I don't think there's enough superlatives to describe Charlie Adam, because that ball that you mentioned for Jordan McGee was absolutely superb. You see, when you were watching it on the telly, and like a lot of the freeze frames, the place he hits it from, there's lots of boys around him. It's like, how on earth did he know Jordan McGee was going to be there and stuff? It's just, it was perfect. And then obviously the Mullen one was a nice easy one for Charlie Adam to set up as well. And I mean, yeah, it's amazing what kind of a few games can do. Obviously, we've mentioned Osmond So as well. I'm going to stick his name out there. I think he's a Ballon d'Or winner this coming year.
please calm down.
But yeah, I mean, as you say, top goal scorer in the league, tied with Declan McManus on 6 goals, although So has managed it in one less game. I mean, it just really doesn't make sense. I don't think you can really... I've imagined this happening, but I think Dundee fans, after all the kind of disappointment they had kind of last season not going to plan, and then the kind of start to the season they had, and I think that they're going to be buzzing with how it's going now. I've seen Liam Fontaine described as Baldini, obviously kind of like Paolo Maldini, and yeah, like there's a lot of good things going on at Dundee at the moment, and as you said, the only team to win all 3 games during the festive break, and up to third, level on points with Mad Dunfermline in second place, and yeah, fantastic kind of turnaround for them. But it's now whether they're able to keep this, or whether it'll just kind of be like most championship clubs, they go on a good run and it's followed by an equally as bad run. But certainly I think Dundee are perhaps the team of the festive period, certainly, because the turnaround that they've had in the past few weeks has been nothing short of remarkable, and they're playing like the Dundee we kind of expect, and they're enjoyable to watch again, because I think we've watched a lot of their games this season and just kind of felt a bit meh.
Aye, especially in the first few weeks of the season, like against Morton, they were so average, and Morton were unlucky not to get anything from that game. Obviously, Dundee rode it out and managed to get the win in the end, but they just didn't look like they had any ideas. But over the past kind of, yeah, obviously they're unbeaten in 6. Over those 6 matches, they've been much better. And even in that loss against Ayr that I mentioned, they were probably the better team. To be quite honest, it was a wee bit end to end, but they deserved more than a 2-0 defeat. So, yeah, I think, as you said, they're level on points now with Dunfermline, and with the form of either team, then they're probably looking better for second on current form.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna argue with that one. But moving on to another good thing for me, this is just a short one. Inverness had 2 of the 3 games postponed over the festive period, so there wasn't much to shout home about for Inverness fans, but I think I've got to give a shout out to Miles Storey's goal against the Pars. I mean, this was an absolutely fantastic goal. The commentator certainly enjoyed the goal, and he would have had you believe it was he'd skinned the entire team twice before backheeling it from his own penalty box. But I mean, it was a fantastic strike, and as I say, pretty much all that was kind of good for Inverness over this festive period. But yeah, another thing that I think we could maybe say was good, Hearts' first 2 festive games, thumped Ayr 5-3 at home, then comfortably beat Arbroath at home in the following game 3-1. Obviously, lost to Dundee after that. But what did you make of Hearts in those 2 games?
Yeah, I've got Hearts' home form down as my good for the festive period. Obviously, as we mentioned, they lost to Dundee at Kilmac. Sorry, I almost called it Dens there. Sorry, Dundee fans. Oh, you'd probably be delighted with that, to be honest. Yeah, but I think looking at Hearts overall, the home form, they've got maximum points from home with a goal difference of +17. So they've been absolutely solid at Tynecastle. Obviously, we had that goal fest on Boxing Day against Ayr, and they might have conceded 3, but I thought they were pretty impressive going forward in that one. Christoph Berra, though he probably didn't have a good game against Dundee, kind of turned libero for Craig Whiting's first goal. Lovely finish for Craig White's second goal as well from outside the box. Picks up the ball in a really good position for Liam Boyce's goal as well, kind of in behind Boyce and obviously in front of Ayr's defence, so he's really tricky to mark in that position. Massive error from Viljami Sinisalo for Stephen Kingsley's free kick. But Kingsley, I thought, again, we've praised him a lot, and he was excellent for Ollie Lee's goal, putting in a great ball into the box. There was a few defensive errors all over the shop for Ayers late. Third goal, kind of short back pass from Michael Smith, and then I think they had at least two extra chances to try and clear it. But moving on to the Arbroath game, it was all about Stephen Naismith, really, wasn't it? Like, Liam Boyce had gone off after 20 minutes, so Naismith was kind of that focal point where Boyce has been playing for most of the season so far, and you can't argue with a six-minute hat-trick. I think it was probably, I would say, two classic poacher goals and then one penalty. But Hearts are 5 points clear at the top of the league. Yeah, they'll be annoyed with that Dundee defeat, but I don't think they would argue with that at this stage of the season.
No, definitely not. And obviously, Naismith's hat-trick, is that the first hat-trick we've had in the league this season? No, sorry, it's the second. Kevin O'Hara got one against Alloa. But for another hat-trick, obviously, it's great to see players get those hat-tricks. And as you say, Hearts were really good in those two games, and obviously couldn't really live up to against Dundee. And this is now the second time that they've lost to kind of one of those sides who were tipped by many to kind of challenge them for the title. Of course, they lost away from home to Dunfermline earlier on in the season. Now they've lost to Dundee away from home, and obviously you mentioned their strong home form, but certainly away from home and in these games against the kind of side pushing them for the title, they've got to be doing better, because that's two games played and 0 points to show from it. So it's certainly not what Hearts fans will want, but at the same time, they're picking up results against other teams that both the Pars and Dundee aren't. So yeah, it's kind of one of those things. I don't think you can be too bothered, but you'd certainly like to be beating the teams that you're kind of competing with for the title. But have you any other good, or shall we move on to the bad?
I've got one more good, and it wouldn't be me without talking about Morton. So we're unbeaten in four since David Hopkins left now. And the style, I tweeted about it a couple of weeks back now, I think, but the style looks so much different. I think we are still attempting to be hard to beat, but there's a little bit more going forward now, which is obviously great, and that's contributed to the little bit of a turnaround in form too. So looks as though we're kind of trying to build attacks rather than just lumping it and hoping that something happens on that second ball. I think we were leading in both matches against Ayr and Alloa, and it's a bit disappointing to come away from those with just two draws. Maybe tired, just as both matches went on, where we are pressing much more, which is great to see too. We look like the team that I wanted us to be. But on the plus side, obviously it's a disappointing thing overall, but on the plus side, we did concede from our only two defensive errors in both matches. So yes, that's probably a bit of a good and a bad thing. But now Morton are looking up rather than looking down. I think it's obviously, when Queen of the South win two matches in a row, you are still looking down a little bit. But to be 5 points clear of them in eighth position is still a good place to be. I think we've got a game in hand over Dundee, which obviously with their good form, if we win that, then which I think will be against Inverness, then we'll only be a point behind Dundee. So it's all to play for still, obviously, for the majority of the rest of the season. But like I said, we're looking up a bit rather than looking down, and it's a good position to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can complain too much. As you say, also like two 1-1 draws after leading. And before moving on, I would like to apologise to Aidan McAdams. Me and Chris were speaking prior to that Ayr game, and we're praising him and kind of suggesting, is he maybe the goalie who'd go in the team of the season if the season stopped now? And as you then pointed out, Chris, he made his first mistake of the season in this one. What did you kind of make of that mistake?
I thought, yeah, it was a mistake by him. I think, I've not watched it back enough, to be honest, but I think it does kind of ricochet off of a defender that is in front of him, and then he parries it out. So, yeah, I mean, it is his mistake. I'm going to attribute it to him. But, and then the Alloa, it was just a catalogue of errors, to be honest. I think a ball should have been closed down out of the box. Lewis Strapp's got two men at the back post. A shot, McAdams kind of parries a shot into the six-yard area, which obviously is not great either, but he's kind of saving it at, not point blank range, but it comes at him pretty fast. So But yeah, and annoying to see a ex-Morton player score against Morton, which always seems to happen to Morton. But yeah, for it to be Robert Thompson as well is a bit of a kick in the teeth, because he wasn't ever really great for us. But yeah, I'm looking up rather than looking down. So that's my new motto for Morton.
Right then, on to the bad then. And I think the place we start is Arbroath. Arbroath are sitting bottom. They're kind of getting cut adrift now. They're now 5 points behind Queen of the South in eighth. Agonising loss to Dunfermline on Boxing Day, a match I felt they certainly should have got a point from, and then comfortable beating away to Hearts before their game versus Inverness was called off. Just one win in the last six championship fixtures now, and I mean, it's really not looking good for them at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you look back before Christmas, we didn't know where a win was going to come from, and then they managed to beat Ayr, but two disappointing defeats over the festive period against Dunfermline and Hearts, and they are looking rooted at the bottom of the table again. The fact that they've only scored 5 goals all season is probably what is keeping them down there. They don't look like... They rarely threaten going forward, apart from that Ayr game aside, and it's difficult to see where that's going to change, where the difference is going to come. I think, yeah, we're in January now. Will they sign a striker? Will they sign maybe a more creative midfielder? We're not sure. But yeah, I'm continuing to worry for Arbroath, and yeah, things are pretty bad at the moment.
I mean, it's strange considering we'd sang the praises again after that Ayr United game. Arbroath looked to adopt a kind of different style of play. They were a lot more attacking, creating lots of chances, and arguably could have had 2 or 3 more goals. But against Depars, I mean, they were pretty decent. As I say, I think they deserved a point. Obviously, a late Kevin O'Hara winner for Dunfermline meant that Depars got all 3 points in a game that they were very poor in. But yeah, it's really hard to kind of see where stuff's going to go in Arbroath's favour. I'm just having a quick look at their fixtures. They play Ure Morton on the 12th of January, and then they do face Queen of the South. So I think that's already a must win for them. We're just kind of at the halfway stage almost of the season. And I mean, I think that is kind of a must win for them, because if they lose that, they then drop 8 points behind. And to be honest, I can't see them clawing that back. And then obviously they've got Alloa a few games after that. And if they lose that, then yeah, it's going to be a really tricky kind of one for them to pull it back. But obviously, as we know, you never write anyone off in the Championship. A lot of crazy stuff can happen. But yeah, I mentioned them briefly there. So shall we discuss Alloa and their rather disappointing festive period?
Yeah, go for it.
So Alloa over the festive period had 2 losses and a draw, including a 5-2 thumping from Raith Rovers on Boxing Day. This had a rather crazy ending to 6 goals in the last 15 minutes. And I mean, I think you could probably say that was the best game that we had over the festive period, because it was quite the game, especially that final 15 minutes. But I mean, it's no good for Alloa, who were, I guess you could say, kind of looking up a wee bit. They'd got that win against Inverness and obviously against Arbroath a few weeks prior to that. And it was kind of looking quite up for Alloa. They'd got the win over Inverness just before the festive period, and a few weeks before that, they also beat Alloa. But in the time since, they've conceded 9 goals and scored 4 and only have 1 point to show. And yeah, it's a shame for Alloa. We don't really hide that we've kind of got a wee soft spot for them, but they, much like Arbroath below, really need to kind of start finding form and kind of kicking on, because they could end up cut adrift to Queen of the South as well and end up in that playoff, the playoff relegation spot, which I think any team wants to avoid. So yeah, we'll wait and see. Alloa have pulled off the great escape many times before, and there's still plenty of weeks to go for them to perhaps pull off another.
I still feel quite confident about Alloa, and maybe that feels weird, obviously sitting in ninth, but as you say, we've got a little soft spot for them, and having seen them against Morton as well on the second, they weren't bad. I think Morton probably shaded the match in terms of just overall general quality going forward a little bit. Morton had a couple of big chances that they missed. Aidan Nesbitt blasted one over that they should have totally found the net with, but I think Alloa were resilient in it. They kept themselves in the game. Neil Parry had a few good saves and obviously eventually got their goal and got the point, and it probably was deserved on the balance of play. as even though I've just said that Morton probably shaded it. But if you think about the whole match, then Alloa probably deserved the point because Morton couldn't finish those chances. So I think they're going to be fine. And I'm probably more, although we've seen two wins on the bounce from Queen of the South, those wins came from nowhere. Whereas we've seen Alloa play kind of okay and be unlucky for most of the season so far. And I think those two things will probably balance themselves out, and I think Alloa will be fine come the end of the season.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm just having a look at their fixtures for the next few weeks as well. After Scottish Cup commitments with Cove Rangers at the weekend, they then travel away to Ayr, then they host Hearts, who they only beat in the Scottish Cup a few weeks back, so that's bound to give them confidence. They've then got Inverness away, and then two absolutely huge games for them. They then have two home games against Queen of the South and Arbroath on the 6th of February and the 13th. And they're huge games. And if they want to kind of pull themselves away, they need to kind of win the pair of them, I think. Obviously, we can't really tell how they'll fare in the games before that. Obviously, as you've correctly said, Alloa play okay. They play nice football and they're so unlucky. And it feels like we just say that because it's an easy thing to say, but it's true. The amount of times that they've deserved at least a point out of games or deserved wins, but they just don't get them. And that's kind of been the case for them throughout the whole time we've done the podcast. And it's a real shame because you've seen kind of Arbroath gone a good run of form last season and where that took them. If Alloa just had that little bit of luck, that could quite easily be them in the future. But yeah, we're just going to need to wait and see what happens with them. Have you any other bad things to mention before I mention another one?
Yeah, I've got probably quite a controversial bad thing, and that is me questioning whether the Scottish Championship is bad this season. I'm wondering whether it's just been more even than it's ever been, or whether it's pretty kind of bang, average, verging on bad this season. We've always had anyone being able to beat anybody else, but I think it feels like that's more the case than ever this season. I think in the space of 3 weeks, we had Ayr beating Alloa, we had Alloa beating Arbroath, and then we had Arbroath beating Ayr. And I just think you look at that kind of short space of time over a 3 week period, and the league is the ultimate coup and buster. But is it the case that the quality of the league is bad this season, or whether it's just everybody is kind of much of a muchness?
I mean, I think it's probably fair to say everyone's much of a muchness. I think we did kind of say Hearts in a pre-season preview, or perhaps this was just us discussing things between ourselves. But I think we were pretty convinced Hearts were kind of in a league of their own. Then you maybe had Dunfermline, Dundee, Inverness and Ayr kind of in that next pack, and then the rest of the teams, it's kind of much of a muchness. But we've kind of seen in the past few weeks, Hearts aside, there is much of a muchness between the other nine teams in the league. And I mean, whilst fantastic for viewing and doing podcasts on, there's always plenty to talk about, and you can never really plan for a podcast in the Championship. But as you say, it does make you question whether the quality's dropped or what. But yeah, I think it's still kind of relatively early doors in the season. But as I said a wee bit earlier on, we're not quite at the halfway stage yet. So maybe if this keeps up, we could maybe question the quality. But for now, I'm not too concerned, and I'm massively enjoying seeing your coupons bust every weekend.
I should probably just stop trying to predict every single result on a coupon specific to the Championship. Maybe that's my issue.
Oh, well, perhaps it's your fault that the results are all over the place. So moving on to the final bad thing for me, and that is Kai Kennedy's loan with Inverness is over. One goal and one assist during his time in the Highlands. A fantastic goal that came against Queen of the South, and yeah, really sad to see Kai Kennedy go. He was a player who certainly caught our eye amongst all the kind of really young talents coming through at Inverness. And granted, he was on loan at Rangers, but he certainly complemented and fit in well with the likes of Roddy McGregor's, Cammy Harper, and Scott Allardyce. He's a few years older, but we're still classing him in that kind of that bracket. But Kennedy, obviously, a fantastic, fantastic dribbler, lots of skill, really quick, and now back at Rangers. And personally, I can't see them giving him a go. I know they're, what, nearly 20 points clear in the Premiership, but I mean, I can't see them just throwing the kids out now that the title's as good as wrapped up. I'd quite like to see Kennedy either loaned back to Inverness or another team in the Championship for the remainder of the season. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we'll likely see that And whether it is Inverness again, because he has been decent. I feel like we've hardly seen him, but I was looking at it and he has played just over 500 minutes of the 900 available in the league so far this season, I think, for Inverness. So he has stood out, and I think he's been a great kind of addition to their young team, as we've said so many times this season. And yeah, it'd be great to see him back on loan, because yeah, I'm not sure if he's going to get a chance with it being such an important season for Rangers and them trying to secure that title. So, yeah, maybe he's just going back and for the Rangers coaching team to assess the loan and maybe send him back elsewhere or same to Inverness. So, but we'll see what happens over the next few weeks in January.
So, moving on to the ugly then, we already touched on the George Galloway incident at the top of the show. Now, the ugliest thing for me was the Fife derby being called off on the 2nd of January. On the previous day, there was talk of a pitch inspection. The club then confirmed pitch inspection very early on in the morning and woke up on the Saturday in tears, hearing that the game was postponed. And I mean, this was disappointing. Obviously, the last game between the two sides was 2-2, and two sides who are really fighting to prove to be top dogs in Fife this season both have done really well so far. And yeah, massively disappointing that that was off, but that wasn't the only one off over the festive period. As we've already said, Arbroath Inverness was off, Morton Inverness was also off as well. And I mean, it's rubbish when games are postponed, especially ones involving your own team when you're all excited to see them.
Yeah, I was fuming on Boxing Day when Morton Inverness got called off. I think I obviously had plans over Christmas to visit my family who are up in Scotland, but that obviously got postponed too. And then the next best thing was potentially going on a Zoom call with my dad for us both to watch the Morton match together on Boxing Day. But no, the weather had other ideas for that one. And I think it's just so annoying when you're looking forward to something, and it feels even more annoying over the Christmas period as well, because it's just, I always like the football over the Christmas period. Getting dark at like 3 o'clock and the floodlights are on already when you're there, I think it's just something really good about it. So yeah, it was really disappointing for that one to be off.
Then you've got a cracking stat for this one. So the next ugly for me is Ayr's collapse. Now, this hasn't just been relating to the festive period. It has been going on for a few weeks. They've won just two of the last 10 games in all competitions and won none of the last 5 league games. And I mean, they've conceded goals quite a lot this season. We were saying earlier on in the season how impressed we were with Ayr's defence, but in the time since, they seem to have conceded a number of goals in games, and more often than not, these goals are coming within a few minutes of one another, and it's just like their heads seem to go down the second they concede another's in, if not another as well. And yeah, it's something that's really not helped them in the past few weeks, and kind of led them from maybe being a team we thought could have challenged as a real kind of dark horse to a team who will probably make the playoffs, if not just miss them, because of this really poor defending.
Yeah, I got to admit, I did not see this collapse in form coming, and maybe that's me from obviously being a non-Ayr fan. But when I saw them at Alloa, when I was there commentating, I thought they were fine. I thought they kind of cruised that match, obviously 1-2-0, and Mark Kerr was really happy with them. But it seems like since then, they've just gone to shit, to be honest. I obviously tipped them for second in the league, and I'm not going to go back on any predictions just yet, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. I think we saw that Bruce Anderson's been called back from Aberdeen, and he's that did not click whatsoever. I'm sure you tipped him to be top scorer in the Championship this season, so that just shows you that you should not listen to any predictions that we make on the podcast. And as you said, that stat that I think I stole off the Ayr forum and then posted from the Pure Football account is they conceded 3 goals in 5 minutes against Morton, which was obviously delighted for me but not for them. 3 goals in 8 minutes against Livy, which was a coupon buster as well, because Gary Holt had just left Livy that week. 3 goals in 6 minutes against Hearts, 2 goals in 3 minutes against Arbroath, and 2 goals in 3 minutes against Queen of the South. So, as you said, they concede, and it's very likely that the other team is going to score again. And we saw that with that Queen of the South win most recently. which when Ayr equalise, you're thinking, right, cool, they've managed to salvage a point from it. But Conor Shields goes up the park and scores straight away, and you have to question what's going on there. What is the mentality? What's happening in that defence? When I was at the match against Alloa as well, Mark Kerr spoke about how he hadn't played Patrick Reading because he wanted Aaron Muirhead to come in and play right back. So he moved Jordan Houston over to the left-hand side, and that was to give a bit more stability, a bit more leadership, a bit more voices in there. Mark Kerr played himself for the first time of the season against Morton as well, and thankfully gave away a penalty. But yeah, you're not sure what's happening there, and you're not sure where it's going to be fixed as well, because defence is the position on the pitch that they've got the least amount of options as well. They don't have much to come in from what is already starting every match. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward for Ayr.
Yeah, it will be. I think last season we pointed out when Kerr was playing, obviously before he kind of became the manager, how much of a difference him playing actually made to Ayr. They got a lot of balance in that midfield, and obviously Stephen Kelly's no longer there, but Kerr kind of sit in, gave the defence that bit more solidity. Kelly was able to go kind of box to box and get heavily involved in things, and they've kind of lacked that this season. Kerr, whether he goes back to playing more regularly, I don't know. They'd maybe need someone more like Stephen Kelly back in the team again, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. Now, for a final ugly point, there has unfortunately been some COVID cases in the league. So talk to me about that, Chris.
Yeah, so Morton have been hit, and Hearts as well. We obviously don't know. The clubs aren't revealing who has been affected by coronavirus, but thankfully none of them seem to be majorly affected, and there's not been huge outbreaks at either club as well. I think it's just a couple of players on each team. So I think obviously it just shows us that it will happen, and the situation, again, we're recording this on Tuesday, and we've obviously just heard everything that happened yesterday with new lockdowns and stuff like that. The situation across the country is still completely terrible. There might be more to come. We're not sure. I think there's constant chat on Twitter since the announcement yesterday whether football is going to continue, whether football should continue. We obviously hope that it will, because it gives us something to talk about, it gives us something to look forward to. But obviously you need to put everybody's health and safety first. So I think I'm not sure what will happen with that one, but it looks as though it will be continuing for now, which, like I said, is obviously good for us to talk about something and good for us to do a podcast together, Cammy. But yeah, thankfully the cases at both clubs are not major. But it does just show you that it can happen at any point. So clubs just need, and the players themselves need to keep on being safe.
Absolutely. So for the kind of conclusion of this podcast, we're going to touch on the super ugly. Now, there's only one thing that we can possibly put in this category, and that is Aberdeen recalling an original Pure Championship favourite in Mikko Virtanen from his loan at Arbroath. If you've listened to the podcast since me and Chris started, we have raved about Mikko all along. We were also very fortunate to speak with Mikko not that long ago, so if you've not heard that, be sure to just look on the Pure Football podcast feed and you'll find that. Mikko spoke really openly kind of about why he went back to Arbroath, kind of his plans for the future and stuff like that. It was just really good to obviously get that connection with a player who we've been so fond of. This season he made 9 Championship appearances, and I'm very sorry to see him return to Aberdeen, but I'm hoping that he's been recalled with the purpose of getting a go in the first team, because I think after impressing us so much in the Championship, it's time he gets a go in that Aberdeen midfield.
I think you wanted him at Dunfermline as well, if it doesn't happen, Cammy, but I don't think that's going to happen, is it?
No, I mean, I'll drive up and bring him to Dunfermline, socially distanced and COVID compliant and all that. Obviously, Mikko, I think, we'd fit in quite nicely at the Pars, but whether we actually need him is another thing. I think we do have quite a lot of midfielders, and we've got obviously Kyle Turner playing really well. We've also got Stephen Whitaker, who adds a bit of a veteran presence, and Ken McEnroy's looking all right. We've also got Ian Wilson, who's doing really well. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if there'd be space for him, but I mean, if I was the Pars boss, I'd somehow manage to find a way in, because I'm a huge fan of him. So hopefully for Mikko, it is a chance in the first team. If not, perhaps a loan back to the Championship, where me and Chris will be waiting with open arms.
We haven't really talked about Dunfermline much, and I think we've not really touched on Raith either. But yeah, I think obviously either side have still been okay. Like they've not really fitted into any of the categories that we wanted to talk about either. So that's why we haven't really touched on them too much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there wasn't. I mean, the Pars got the win against Arbroath. I mean, I think I'd say I was expecting it to be Arbroath. Obviously, we made it a bit harder than we needed to, and only kind of just got it in the final minute. And then obviously the draw with Inverness, we took the lead. Kyle Turner got his first goal, and Inverness, they did have some good spells, and we once again didn't really create all that much. We did actually go for a change in system for this one, which, I mean, Crawford's coming for a bit of criticism as of late for things going a bit stale and the form kind of dipping, but changed the system to like a five at the back, and yeah, it worked all right, but certainly we need to work on creating more chances. As for Raith, we did obviously touch on their huge win over Alloa 5-2, and maybe we could have spoken a bit about that a bit more, but then obviously their loss to Queen of the South certainly put a dampener on things for them over the festive period.
Yeah, and I think next up in the league for Raith Rovers as well is Dundee at home, so that should be a cracker on Tuesday the 12th.
Yeah, it should be. Obviously, we've got a full fixture card, not this weekend, but we do have some in the midweek, and then followed by a full fixture card on at the weekend as well, so we're unsure whether we'll kind of maybe adopt this approach that we've went with today for that or what, but obviously we'll be back once the Championship's back after those Saturday fixtures, so that brings an end to this week's edition of the Pure Championship podcast. If you've enjoyed what you've listened, don't forget to leave a review and let us know your comments. We're always, always happy to engage with all of you on Twitter, and we welcome any abuse as well.